Welcome to a journey inside the soul of one of sports media's brightest minds. A profoundly nuanced odyssey called Stupodity. Hosted by the incomparable Stu Gotts, a man I consider a personal hero and icon of the industry. I want to make no bones about it. There is no Mike Greenberg today without the sensational Stu Gotts providing me the inspiration to chase my dream and challenge myself to be just half as brilliant as he is. Allow me, Mike Greenberg, a man who would probably today be doing traffic in Sioux Falls without Stu Gotts' influence, to welcome you to a truly transcendent sonic experience. This is Stupodity.
Welcome into another episode of Stupodity, the biggest podcast in the world, thanks to you. Bigger than Oprah. How about that? Please subscribe, rate, and review. Unsubscribe, resubscribe, re-rate, re-review. I am now doing this podcast with a new man, a married man, Daniel Stanzik. How are you? I'm married and I'm ready.
I'm good. Wedding went well. As you said, married man, you know, no complaints. All things considered, great weekend. Not too many people in the church, obviously, but we left the church and a bunch of our friends are waiting for us in the parking lot, which is very nice. So we had a great time. Great weekend.
Excellent. And that was Finney congratulating you, by the way. He's very excited for you. Congratulations, my friend. Did you play the best man speech for anyone at the wedding? And if so, what was the reaction?
I played it for my wife, Jenna. Yeah. She laughed, and I didn't have to play it for my actual best man, Tim Burch. He heard it on his own, and he must be a big fan of yours because he was asking for royalties right away.
Real Burgie.
Yeah.
That kind of guy. And Tommy's not getting any. Okay.
Of course not. Yeah, come on.
But he can come on the podcast if you'd like. I'm fine with that. Get Burgie on. And feel free to get Jenna on at any time, okay?
It's going to be a tough sell.
Yeah. You're telling me?
I know.
My wife did three of these and then she quit on us.
Yeah.
All right. So we continue to churn out. Congratulations, buddy. We're happy for you. We continue to churn out podcasts at an alarming rate, perhaps an unhealthy rate. I'm not even certain where we are, what month, what day it is. I have no idea. But we have another one. In fact, I have enough to release one a day for the next 3,000 days. How about that? This is crazy, man. Cody Zeller is going to join us today. He is with the Hornets. So we'll talk to him about Michael Jordan. I just had him with the Hornets, right? He's with the Hornets.
He is with the Hornets. Yeah, you're right.
It always Bobcats, Hornets, you know, it's like it gets all confusing.
There's a lot of Zellers too, so I don't blame you. Like you told me you were talking to Zeller, and I didn't know which one.
Listen, I'm telling you, when we have Cody Zeller on, I'm still not going to know which one it is. That's the deal.
I know.
But I'm excited to talk to him because he's been on the radio show a couple of times. He's a fun guy. He is treating quarantine the way it should be treated, where he is learning to do new stuff every day. He ain't good at any of them, but at least he's trying. And so I'm excited to speak to Cody Zeller. Plus, he plays for the team that is owned by Michael Jordan. So you have to think that if anyone's going to have good Jordan stories, it is going to be Cody Zeller. So he'll join us here in just a minute. But it got me thinking, Stanzik, top five athletes. Now, I want to be very clear with you here. Okay. Top five athletes, not who have the letter Z in their name, not whose first name begins with Z, but whose last name begins with Z. Because if I do first name Z, you're going to come at me with Zach Thomas. Like all the Zachs are going to come at me.
Yeah, Zach Greinke is a big one.
Right, right.
Yeah.
So I'm only allowing one guy on this list whose first name begins with a Z. That's
who?
It. Zydrunas Ilgauskas.
Big Z.
Big Z. I didn't know it has that name, okay? We're not going to fill it with four more Zydrunases, I hope, okay? But you agree that's the way to do it, right?
Yeah. Okay. All right. Big Z's in, but now I need last name Z.
So it has the Starts last name Z. Needs to begin with a Z, which.
So, because of Cody Zeller. Okay.
Yeah. Now, listen to me. I'm tempted. We'll see, but I'm tempted to also eliminate all Zimmermans.
Ryan and Jordan, right?
Is there another Zimmerman? Yeah, because then we'll have Zydrunas, Ryan, and Jordan, and that's almost a legit top five. I mean, you know?
Yeah, okay.
So we'll see. We'll see. We might need a couple of Z's at the end with the Zimmermans, and therefore I'll leave it open, okay?
Okay, what about, was he also Big Z, Carlos Zambrano?
I think if your last name or first name starts with a Z and you're Big Z, you know what
yeah.
I'm saying?
He was good for a couple of years stretch there with the Cubs, was he not?
Oh, he was great. Carlos Zambrano was absolutely on this list. So
he win a Cy Young now?
My guess would be he never won a Cy Young. I would guess that he has finished top five in Cy Young voting in certain years. That would be my guess. I mean, Sanji, you're talking about a very good pitcher here.
I'm pulling it up. He finished top five in the Cy Young three different times. Never won.
Yeah. Did I just nail it? You're impressed with that analysis, right?
I know. I am. Yeah.
All right, so we agree. We have Carlos. Zambrano is a good pitcher. So we have Zambrano and we have Zydrunas Ilgauskas. Is that fair?
Yes. Okay. We got two. Are we removing? Well, we can't remove the Zimmermans yet. We got to fill out the rest of the top five. Who else?
So I have Jim Zorn. How about that? Jimmy Zorn.
Seahawks, right? Quarterback, Seahawks.
Yeah, like. Jim. I'm telling you, if you look Jim Zorn's numbers, you will find out that Jim Zorn was very good.
Really?
Connected Zorn and Largent, fantastic, and those teams were very good. They had Kurt Warner, running back from Penn State. I think they went to an NFC Championship game one year. I'm telling you, that team is very, very good. David Craig was the backup. I'm telling you.
Jim Zorn. Okay. What about Barry Zito?
I'm telling you what you're doing with Zorn. Zito's good, he said. I'm telling you what you're doing with Zorn. You're only remembering the Redskins head coach, Jim Zorn. Okay?
That's true.
You didn't see him as a player, and I'm vouching for him as a player. Okay? All right, I didn't even think of Zito. That is an outstanding
Zito did win
job.
A Cy Young. Zito did his third year in the league. 23-5. Not that wins mean anything. With a where's the ERA on here?
Yeah, wins mean everything. What are you talking about?
I mean, I forgot what I'm talking to for a second there.
One team wins, the other team loses. You got 23 wins against five losses. You deserve a Cy Young.
Okay? 2.75
ERA. 2.75?
Greg Zahn was a catcher.
Hold on, Zahn. Are you telling me Barry Zito, what was the record that year?
He was 23-5 with a 2.75 ERA.
Stanzik, he won the Cy Young, of course, right?
He won the Cy Young, yeah.
Stanzik, I would say without even looking, that is a top 10 pitching season of all time, okay? Of all time. So, of course, he's on the list, okay? Carlos Zambrano.
We got two pitchers. Big Z,
Barry Zito,
Jim Zorn.
Jim Zorn. Kick Zorn off the list in a minute. I got a good one for you.
Who?
Chris Zorich.
Oh, linebacker? Yeah. Notre Dame.
Notre Dame defensive lineman. Yeah.
Yeah.
Zorich. Yes.
I had his Zorich. Football card. He was one of the guys that had like the short jersey who was shown his midriff.
Yes. Yeah, you look at Jay Glazer. Yeah.
Chris Zorich is excellent.
Zorich.
Wow.
Let me check it out. That is excellent, right?
Yeah.
I'm just Googling Zorich. And by the way, can you you want to do something funny?
What?
Do a quick image search on Chris Zorich and tell me I'm wrong about him looking like Jay Glazer. Go ahead.
Bye, stand by. Oh. It's pretty. Did you Google search the third one? Is like a picture I'm talking about. He's got the Notre Dame jersey on. It's like tucked underneath the shoulder pads.
Yeah. Yes, it did.
It's a weird look.
It is a weird look. Yeah. All right. So we have Zorich, Zambrano, Zito, Jim Zorn, and Zydrunas Ilgauskas. They're pretty good list of Z's right there.
What about Fuzzy Zeller?
Oh, wow. Oh, wow, Stanzik.
Won the Masters.
He did. Eric Zier.
I don't know who that is.
I think it was a Georgia quarterback. Pat Zachary, Met pitcher.
Mm.
How about Sleepy Floyd? Z's.
Brutal. Oh, man.
Good joke. All right. I got to tell you something. Zambrano, Zito. What was the name you just said?
Fuzzy Zeller.
I think Fuzzy's got to be on the list. I really do. You got a green jacket, and we're doing all-time Z's. You got to be on the list.
He's
Zeller, Zambrano, Zito. I'm good with this. Zorn. And who was the fifth?
Zydrunas Ilgauskas, Big Z.
I'm good. I'm good with that.
I'll tell you what, I got another one, and I think he's probably the best one, and it's off the board for you and me. Who? But I think he's top of the list because his first name Z and his last name Z, and it's Zinedine Zidane.
You're right. I listen, soccer is dead, okay? Except for that guy, okay? Because he's got some personality and a double Z. Starts with a Z.
Yeah.
A Z. So who are we kicking off here? You got a Masters champion. You got a Cy Young Award winner. You got a guy who's finished third in the Cy Young three times. You got a top five three times. You got a guy who I'm telling you in the late 70s and 80s was a good quarterback. You know, trust me on that. And you got Zydrunas Ilgauskas.
Make Ilgauskas the coach of the all Z team.
Done. Yeah. Okay. Mascot. And if it's not Zydrunas Ilgauskas, it's going to be our guest, Cody Zell.
Stupidity!
Cody, what's up, dude?
How much? I was just saying, one of my neighbors had a tree fall, and I live in like a nice neighborhood, and I was like, I don't have a chainsaw at the house, but I'm like, if anyone has a chainsaw, I'm willing to help out. But I live in like such a nice, you know, a little uppity neighborhood, a lot of old people. I bet there's not one chainsaw on the whole street. So
I am guessing I live in a similar area, although granted, probably not as nice as yours, that I could search every house in my neighborhood and there's not a single chainsaw.
That's what I'm figuring out about my neighbors, yeah.
Cody, if you wanted to start ringing doorbells, we will just be along for the ride. I am not opposed to that.
That'd be great. Yes. Yes. Cody, door to door.
Yeah. Feel free. I'm in on that. Why not?
Well, here's the deal. So nobody has power, so everyone's like outside working. So the person across the street is mowing the lawn. There's two chainsaws going. Like everyone.
Oh, so we have chainsaws. We're in business. You don't have to knock on any doors.
Yeah. Wait, no, say that. Do you have them go? We found the chainsaw?
There's two people out there already.
I hear one. I'm like a bloodhound. I'm like my ears perk up. I'm like, is that a chainsaw?
I love you. Like, I love Cody. He's so bored during quarantine. Like, he's just waiting for f***ing trees to fall down. Like, anything to happen. Right?
That's exactly it.
Like, the most common things we took for granted, things we probably wouldn't have helped with in the past.
Yeah.
For me, showering. Like, taking a hot shower has become like a vacation, Cody. It's like I get all excited, you know?
My problem is that I have to, like, regularly schedule them, like, because I usually just shower at the arena after I work out, but now I'm like, God, I haven't showered all day, you know? Or, like, you know, sometimes I haven't showered in a couple of days. Like, I'm just home alone, so it's all good.
Wait, hold on. Stanzik, let's go around the room. Last time you showered. Stanzik, last time you showered.
This morning.
Really?
Yeah.
You showered this morning?
It doesn't look like it, I know. But, yeah, man, I run or walk every morning. You know me.
Yeah, no, I know. But I also went walking this morning, and I did not shower. And I've also done an entire national radio show. The last shower for me was yesterday. It was in the afternoon. So I've had two workouts since my last shower, too. Cody, your last shower was?
Last night. I worked out last night. So, yeah, I tried to do it before bed. But there's been a couple times where I'm like, I'll shower tomorrow. Whatever.
So we can see Cody Zeller with us here on Stupidity, and he's been on our show a bunch of times. And he seems to be learning something new every day during quarantine or just waiting for trees to fall so he can help with a chainsaw. Like, you're bored, Cody, but you have this stanza because we can see him, a remarkable smile for someone who's been in quarantine and bored out of his. It seems like you're enjoying this a little bit, to be honest with you, Cody.
I am enjoying it a little bit. And I think what I've realized is that it's now socially acceptable to stay home alone. Right. And, like, this is my normal life. But usually I'm shamed for, like, wow, Cody, you stayed at home and did nothing on Friday and Saturday night. Now I'm like a national hero. They're like, wow, you're doing your part. You're doing your part. I'm like, really? My life hasn't changed, but this is my normal life. So,
right. You were the nerd for staying home before the pandemic and that era for staying home during the pandemic.
Exactly. I'm like, they're going to give me a medal for staying home now. It's like, wow, things have changed.
It is so funny, man, because, you know, you're right. You had a funny tweet about your well, why don't you go ahead and explain it about you were questioning because people are having food delivered in all kinds of different ways. I think Mob was bringing you food, and you had a very funny tweet about it. So why don't you go ahead and share that?
Yeah, so my mom has been on like a scale of 1 to 10 panic level. She's a 10. And so she is, I was home for a few weeks, and there's only so many board games you can play with your parents before I was like, all right, time for a change of scenery. So my mom would disinfect my phone when I woke up each morning. Like, it was transferred through Wi-Fi. Like, this, if the virus wasn't on there before, it's not on there now. So anyway, so she orders carry out. And she wants no contact with the person, which is fine. She wants them to come curbside. But she gives them, like, instructions on how to, like, I'm going to leave the money on the back seat, the passenger side. I'm going to leave the money. You open the door. You leave the package. You take the money. I was like, are we setting up a drug deal, or are we setting up, you know, carry out here? Things are different. So, anyway, I had no idea what she's doing. But I better safe than sorry. My dad's had some heart issues and stuff, so. Better safe than sorry. But at the same time, I was like, all right, I need to go back to Charlotte. It's about time for me to leave.
All right, but let's be very clear. Mrs. Zeller, who has given birth to you and two brothers, by the way, and who's married, and I'm assuming is a great lady. Mrs. Zeller, what's your mom's name?
Lori.
Lori Zeller is not dealing drugs. Let's just make that clear, Cody, okay?
Yeah, she's a great lady. She's like the most innocent lady ever. So she wouldn't even know the difference.
How are your brothers holding up during this whole ordeal? You have two brothers, Tyler and Luke. So which one of like the most miserable during this ordeal? Which one of you?
So actually, Tyler lives in Chapel Hill now. He's married. He just had a baby. He had a first little girl in the family. We've had all boys in the family. Obviously, that's three. Luke had a boy that's seven now. And so we finally have a girl in the family. So my mom that we were talking about is so anxious to get down there, but she's obviously waiting for the virus to pass. But anyway, so Tyler has had his hands full with, he's got two little ones now, and he's got the little baby. So he's been happy. Luke is he just bought a new house, and he's selling his old house. And obviously selling the old house is not going well. But he's doing a lot of renovations. So when I was back at home, I was helping him renovate his new house. So that was some good learning experiences, if nothing else. But so that was kind of fun to kind of work on that with him.
Cody, I got to be honest. If Tyler and Luke were in this Zoom, I wouldn't know which one's which. I mean, all you Zellers are just rolling together.
It does. Yeah, we, especially here in Charlotte, it's like 2 hours from Chapel Hill. There's a lot of North Carolina fans here. So still, I've been in Charlotte for 7 years, and there'll still be people that'd be like, hey, go Heels. They're like, hey, Tyler, like, good to see you. I just signed it. I'm like, yeah, go, you know, go Heels. You know, I signed Tyler Zeller on the autograph.
Do you really?
They don't know the difference. So that, or sometimes Luke will be a total jerk and be like, yeah, you know, someone thought I was Tyler, so I was just a total jerk to him. If nothing else, they're like, wow, that Tyler is so rude. What a jerk, you know? He's like, I'm just ruining Tyler's reputation.
But I love this. Like, Stanley's right. They know they're talking to a Zeller. They just don't know which one.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I've been confused for all three of them, yeah, all the time.
Oh, that is so great. Do you have other examples of mom being, like, just crazy mom? Like, just paranoid, crazy mom, whether it's inside the pandemic, outside this pandemic? Like, moms are moms, you know? We can all relate to that.
Yeah, well, my mom is actually such a saint, growing up with three boys, like we're talking about. I mean, the amount of stuff that we had broken, we had one nice living room. There was, like, one room in the house was off limits to, like, playing sports, football, baseball, everything else. And it was, like, the one nice room. So she had, like, you know, a couple antique lamps, and she had, like, a china cabinet. But it was also our lofted living room, and it was the best space for, like, sports. So anytime she left the house, we were right in that room playing sports. So the one time growing up, we had her two antique lamps were the goalposts for our soccer game, naturally. And I had a kick, a perfect kick, and it went right off the goalpost, shattered her lamp, you know, can never find another one. Yeah, I mean, I kicked the soccer ball through the Christmas tree, broke her commemorative ornament. One time we were playing football, and I made a diving catch into the china cabinet, broke the glass, my head went into the cabinet, right. All this stuff. So my mom is such
a saint. But you caught it. You caught the ball.
Yeah, that was my dad's first question. He was like, did you catch the pass? So – but my mom is such a saint because she's dealt with all that. She's she's a former athlete as well. We always say she was the first Hall of Famer in the family. She played basketball and softball at Division III school in Iowa. And so, my mom will get out there too. And like sometimes she'll turn her head if one of us are, you know, Cody probably deserved to get his, you know, his butt kicked after the pest that he's been to these two for all day. So she'll turn her head plenty of times as well if one of us deserves it.
I love it. Listen, she deserves a grandchild. She deserves a granddaughter. And I'm glad one of you are producing one of them for her. I mean, Jesus
that's true.
Christ,
finally.
Man. Yes. Yeah, well, I'm the same thing because I grew up like, you know, my mom, it was me, my brother, my dad, no girls in the family. And then I had two daughters and I was thankful that my mom was able to experience something that felt like normalcy to her. Not just a bunch of animals running around the house.
She,
you know?
Yeah, she's been spoiling the little girl already. She hasn't met her yet because of the virus. But, every day here in Charlotte, she's been going to the mall and she's been shopping online and everything else. So she's excited about it.
So when mom would walk in, you guys are doing, because we would do similar things at our house. We would have, you know, like we would set up like Olympics, decathlon, like just crazy stuff and use, you know, house props. And but my dad, whenever we broke something, my parents, the second they walked in, they knew automatically who broke it, who to scream at, whose fault it was. Was mom the same way? Was it like she walked in, saw what happened? Tyler, Cody, that she did right away.
right away, she knew exactly what was happening, and she would see right through it. There was one time that Tyler and I were riding bikes outside, and Tyler found out we had two car garage. One car was in, my mom was gone, and so Tyler had figured out that if he pedals really fast, he could jump off the back and the bike would keep on going. He thought it was the coolest thing, so he pedaled real fast. And so he showed me how to do it. And so he pedaled real fast, jumped out the back, and the bike kept on going, and it veered into the garage and busted out the taillight of the car. And so mom was gone. And so Tyler was like, all right, here's what we're going to do. He coached me up on how to lie about it. He's like, we're going to act like we don't know what happened. Neither one of us, you know, did it. What happened? So he coached me up. I mean, he played, okay, I'm going to be mom. You be yourself. Went back and forth. So mom gets home and she's like, guys, what happened? The taillight? The taillight of the car is out. And Tyler's like, what? The taillight? No way. We have no idea. We've been inside the whole time. And so she's like, Cody, what happened to the taillight? I said, Tyler did it.
Well played, my friend. Danzig, now you know what I want, okay? Now I want all three. I want the Zeller brothers and mom in a Zoom chat for the podcast.
We could 100% set that up. None of us are doing much right now, so we could 100% set that up. Dad mixes it up, too. Dad played he was a walk-on football player at Iowa State for a little while, so he's like 6'5", pretty big guy. So we used to play like two-on-two growing up, so Dad would be, you know, playing with us three. And, you know, he'd always push us around and, you know, the whole no blood, no foul and everything else. So my dad would mix it up with us a little bit too.
All right. So here's what I'm thinking. We get the Zeller brothers. We get mom. We get dad. We put everyone in a window. We all just start telling stories. And feel free to invite Michael Jordan as well if you want to. Just, you know, it's up to you, okay?
It would be a blast.
If you sent Jordan a Zoom invite, how long? Like, there's no way he would accept that invitation, right? It's impossible.
Probably not. I'm not sure what he's doing right now. He's got a couple of places. He's got, you know, a place in Utah. He's got a place in Florida. So I'm not sure what he's doing right now. I haven't seen him in a little while, but the documentary has been good as well. Some of the behind the scenes footage that they have of, like, you know, him and Danny Ainge playing golf between game one and two, and you know, obviously the Rodman 48 hours in Vegas and stuff. Like, can you imagine the stories that they can't tell? Obviously, the behind the scenes stories are cool, but imagine the list they can't tell from that time.
I can't even fathom. But are you, knowing Michael the way you do, obviously he's your boss, you work for him, but you have a relationship with him. Are you surprised that he has revealed as much as he's revealed during this documentary? It's a Michael Jordan that we've never seen publicly before.
Yeah, it is crazy because he doesn't do hardly any interviews. And one of the guys, I don't know how big of a Jordan fan you are, but there's a guy named George. And George was a black car driver, and he went to pick up a client in Chicago at the Chicago airport, and the client didn't show up. And it was the same day that MJ had been drafted and flown to Chicago for his the day after draft interviews. And MJ's driver didn't come as well. And so George didn't have a client, and MJ didn't have a ride. And so they, you know, hey, I got a car. You need a ride to the United Center. And they hit it off, and they've been friends ever since. They've been closest friends. And so George has become kind of his right-hand man. And George has been with him since then. So whenever he flies into – whenever MJ flies into Charlotte, George comes with him. He goes with him wherever he goes. And so, I mean, the amount of stories that George has –
Oh, God.
And he's a really good storyteller, too, as well. Like, I mean, he's been to parties with him. He's ridden the bus in minor league baseball games. He's seen all the finals. He has stories of, like, cleaning out MJ's garage. And he has, like, three trash bags worth of game-worn shoes. And he's like, what do you want me to do with these? And MJ's like, just throw them out. We'll get rid of them. What? He's like, just with that three bags, he could have, you know, retired and done anything he wanted, game-worn shoes. But so the amount of stories that George has, and he has a ton of fun to be around, but a lot of people don't know George, but he has all the same life experiences and stories as MJ without the basketball accolades. And so I've been talking with George a little bit, obviously more than MJ, but it's fun to kind of compare notes with him. And you talk about a guy with some stories. I could sit around all day listening to George.
But even George knows the stories he can tell and can't tell, right? He knows.
Exactly. Right? he's been offered like tens of millions of dollars to write a book. He's been offered to be on Oprah. He's been offered all this stuff, and he never does any interviews. And he told me about this documentary a couple of years ago. And he said that, it was the first interview that him and MJ had both done together. And so I think George is going to be in a couple parts, later episodes, but he was pretty excited because neither one of them did any interviews, but this one they actually did talk a little bit.
Stanza, get George on the podcast. All
right? Come on. Good luck. He doesn't do any interviews.
No, Cody, I'll be asking you.
Yeah, when we have you back on with your brothers, mom, and dad, you'll ask George to come on and jump into a window with us. we'll see if he can make that work. I want to explain to you what a special kind of dork my producer Stanza is, okay? By the way, Cody, he's getting married this weekend.
Congrats.
Thank you.
So, I know. Listen, he's a huge Knicks fan, and so clearly he made his wedding day during the NBA playoffs. Well, would have been the NBA playoffs. So he was confident yet again the Knicks were not making it to the NBA playoffs.
Oh, that's so funny.
It's well done, man.
I want to explain to you what kind of dork he is, okay? Because, he gave me some notes about you and your history and – and one of them is you playing with Victor Oladipo in college. Stanzik, you are a remarkable f***ing dork, dude. Well, why don't you go ahead and tell Cody what you wrote to me. Go ahead.
So, Cody, I was just giving Sugat some background info on you, so he's prepared for the interview. Standard producer-host relationship here. So I'm typing up a little Word document. And my memories of Cody Zeller's playing career start when you were at Indiana. And let's just say I was in the building for your final college game because I'm born and raised in Syracuse, New York, and that game was in Washington, D.C. We took you down. Yeah. 61-50. And Cody, I love you, but 3-for-11, buddy. That's
the part.
Yeah. We were off to a good start. Oh, I hope you have a great wedding. Yeah. No, we're done. I had so much fun in Bloomington, two great years, a lot of success, and to have my career end like that, that still stings a little bit. So, that's a deep wound.
Cody, we're going to put together with you an all-time Hornets team in just a second. All right. Some fun we've been having here with our guests on the podcast. Quickly, though, a couple things before we get to that. You've been on our show, I think, 3 or 4 times now. So I just – the skill that you have learned during this pandemic that you are proudest of. I know you've done extensions on houses. You're looking for chainsaws. You're learning how to cook. What is the thing that you've learned how to do during this pandemic that you, A, didn't think you'd be able to learn how to do, and now that you have, you're pretty damn impressed with yourself?
Well, I'm probably – partway there, but learn the guitar. I mean, I've given up on it like 5 times. And then, you know, I find myself like, I'm so bored that, all right, I'm going to go back to it. I'm going to try it again. And, so I was kind of joking with you guys and a couple other people about like, oh, I should learn to play guitar. I'm a big country music fan. And so Fender sent me this beautiful guitar like this. And I thought it was going to be like a little beginner guitar, like, hey, good luck to you. But it's like an $800, like a beautiful guitar. And then they're offering free guitar lessons to anyone who signs up, and not just me, but anyone in quarantine. And the lessons are actually pretty good. Like they take it really slow and there's, you know, it's very thorough. And so, there's 5 levels to it and I'm on level 3. So, I know how to play maybe 7 or 8 chords. I can't quite put them together for like a full song yet, but I'm on my way. This is something I've always wanted to do, and now I'm kind of forced sitting at home, and so I'm pretty proud of it so far.
All right, so we're tempted right now to ask you to go. It's your choice. Stanzik, I know, is dying for you to go get that guitar and try to put 7 or 8 notes together. I am more willing to allow you to practice another week or two, and when we have the whole big family reunion, allow you to come on and maybe try out your first song or at least your first 8 or 9 chords together. I mean, it's
totally up to you. I was going to say, give me probably 2 weeks, and then I'll be ready. I got a couple of friends that are musicians. There's one that's a Christian artist named Matthew West, and he had a birthday a couple of days ago. And so I looked up on YouTube how to play Happy Birthday, and it was a terrible video, but I was like, let this be my resume. I wrote an original song for you. I played it up real big. And then I played him Happy Birthday on the guitar. So that was my very first song. But once again, I think I need a couple of weeks before I'm ready for my big public debut.
All right. So we'll give you a couple of weeks. Okay. So that will be the debut, not only for us, but for your family to hear you play the guitar for the first time.
That'd be great.
All right. So before we construct our all Charlotte team, our all Hornets team, you wrote a great piece in the Players Tribune about how you almost big-time Michael Jordan. If you wouldn't mind, maybe just share that story quickly with me, Stanzik, and our audience.
Yeah, so I hadn't met MJ, but I had met the two guys were Rich Cho and Rod Higgins. So Rich Cho is the general manager. Rod Higgins was the president of basketball operations. And both of them had been to Bloomington a couple of times to see me in college. I had met them at the Combine in Chicago. I had flown to Charlotte, got to talk to him. So I developed a little bit of a relationship with those two guys. So I got drafted by the Hornets, walk across stage, shake hands with David Stern, come off stage. They hand me the phone and they say there's 3 people on the line. It's Rod Higgins, Rich Cho, and Michael Jordan. And so I said, first up is Rod. And so Rod gets on. He's like, hey, Cody, we're excited that we had the chance to draft you. We're excited for you to get to Charlotte. And I say the same thing. I'm excited to get there to work. I'm so humbled you drafted me. So we have a couple minute conversation. So he passes the phone on. And the second person that I can hear is Rich Cho. And so I got to know him a little bit. So, same thing. He'd kind of same, you know, pleasantries. Hey, I'm excited to be in Charlotte, whatever. A little bit tuned out because I'm like, I'm about to talk to Michael Jordan. This is, I'm a hero. This is cool. And so right at the end of the conversation, he says, all right, I'm going to pass the phone on to Rich. And the second person was Michael Jordan. And I was like, okay, Mr. Jordan. And so I blew it. The first, I don't think he knew it because I tried to play it off, but I was a little bit tuned out. I wasn't like, I feel like such an idiot. So wait.
You're nervous because you're expecting Michael's coming up next. You're not realizing that Michael's coming up. You're not realizing you're speaking to Michael because you're thinking about Michael coming up next.
Exactly. And I couldn't tell you anything that I said to him. Like, I was so tuned out of the conversation that I was just like, I was on cruise control. I was like, yeah, thanks. You know, I'll work out and try whatever. You know, so yeah, not my best. Not my first impression, but we've gotten better since then.
That's good. Did you tell Jordan that story? Like, how soon after it happened did you actually tell MJ that story?
It was probably 3 or 4 years after I'd been drafted. So Most of my life is embarrassing stories of myself. So I had another one. So I'm a Jordan athlete. So they took us on a really nice trip each summer. And so we went to Cabo maybe 3 years ago. So MJ is there at all the ones. There's always, you know, golf and casino and cigars and, you know, in order for him to be there. So it's in the summer and I'm kind of tuned out of like what's going on in the sports world. I'm, you know, get away from basketball a little bit. And we had like a little kind of welcome dinner. And so at the same time we were doing, the Hornets were playing summer league. And I was kind of oblivious to the, you know, the games were going on, whatever. And so I see MJ for the first time at this, this kind of welcome dinner. And he comes up to me and first thing he said is like, "I like bacon." And I was like, kind of a weird way to start a conversation.
Yeah.
And I was like, "Huh?" And he was like, "I like bacon." And I was like, "Yeah, me too. Like, I have no idea. Like, yeah, eggs and bacon. What are we talking about?" And so that was it. That was the end of the conversation. I just said, "Me too." And he like, you know, went to talk to someone else. And so about 30 minutes later, I'm on my phone and I look at the box score and we had just drafted Dwayne Bacon and he had like 28 points. And I was like, "God, I'm such an idiot. Dwayne Bacon. He likes Dwayne Bacon. He played well." So, oh my goodness, I feel like such an idiot. So I'm lucky I didn't say like, I prefer sausage or, you know, like, "God, I'm such an idiot."
You are very Stigatian, and I'm wondering, have you had a good moment with Jordan?
We've had a couple sprinkled in there, so yeah, we've had a couple. It's so cool to have him around anytime you get a few minutes with him. He had one this year where he had he'll be usually around practices or sit in the locker. He'll sit like at the end of our bench and cuss out the refs. And but he came to one of our shoot arounds. We had we split up into two groups, and we were just doing kind of some warm up shooting. So we first wanted to make 10 threes. It was like, you know, seven guys on one end, seven on the other end. And so MJ was there, and he jumped in, and so he started shooting and playing with us. So there was a chance for him to make the 10th three to like end the drill, and he bricked it. And so all of us were like, "God, this guy hasn't made a clutch shot in his life. Like, who invited the old guy to play?" You know, so of course, yeah, and there were some of us that really said that. You can see in the documentary, he hasn't changed one bit. He loves the competitiveness. So, oh yeah, he's giving it out plenty, but he's free to take it as well. So it's always fun to have around.
All right. So, listen, feel free. Jordan stories I could do all day, man. I could. So we're going to have you on multiple more. We'll wait 2 weeks for the family reunion and the guitar. But more Jordan stories. They're always encouraged here. All right. So let's do this on the way out. You've been very gracious with your time, although we have nothing but time. Let's do our all. Yeah. So, Stan, how do you want to do this? Because you have Bobcats.
It's confusing. Yeah. Right. It's Hornets, Pelicans, Bobcats. Like, which franchise are we doing? Are we doing both? Can we do a mixture of both? Like, you tell me. I don't want to screw this up.
I think it's got to be all-time Hornets. Yeah.
But it's two different franchises. So, I mean, I'm good doing that. That's fine.
But the Bobcats and the Hornets, you're saying?
I think.
Right, because the Bobcats became the Hornets. The Hornets became the Pelicans.
Right.
So, like, when they went to New Orleans, I think for the record books, I don't think that, like, Chris Paul, those guys, I don't think those guys are in, like, the Charlotte Hornets' current record books.
I totally agree.
I could be wrong, but.
No. I think you're right. Stanzik, I think this has to be specific to the Charlotte Hornets, meaning Chris Paul, he's not on this team. It should be Kemba Walker, as far as I'm concerned.
I mean, knowing you, you'd put Kemba over Chris Paul anyway. But that's a separate conversation. Yes. but Chris Paul did play for the Hornets. They were just in New Orleans.
Yeah, but that doesn't count as a Charlotte Hornet. So what team does Cody Zeller play for, Stanzik?
The Charlotte Hornets.
Let's do an all-time Charlotte Hornet team with Cody Zeller.
Okay.
I don't know if there's anyone in the Bobcats, Charlotte Bobcats. I was a Bobcat my first year.
Oh, wow.
So I don't know if there's any Bobcats worth putting in that list. Who wants to start it off?
So here's the way we do it. We come up with a starting five. We have one off the bench. We have one for fun. And then we apologize to two guys who didn't make the team that probably shouldn't make the team, but we kept them off. Okay. Stan, are you looking at Bobcats right now?
I'm looking up the coaches because normally we start with the coaches and we don't have a lot of great options. I'm just going to read to you all the coaches in Charlotte Hornets slash Bobcats history. There's 11 of them.
Okay.
Dick Harder, Gene Littles, Alan Bristow, Dave Cowens, Paul Silas, Bernie Bickerstaff, Sam Vincent, Larry Brown, Paul Silas, Mike Dunlap, Steve Clifford, and James Borrego.
All right. I mean, I don't know where Cody's going to go. For me, I would put Paul Silas there.
I have a lot of loyalty to Coach Clifford, but Paul Silas, especially, I've heard plenty of stories. Same thing. I don't remember watching Paul Silas play, but my dad is a huge fan of Paul Silas. Anytime that he still comes to a lot of our games. So I'd be fine with you putting Paul Silas in there.
Paul Silas is he has coached the most playoff games in Charlotte history. So I am on board with Paul Silas as the coach.
We have Silas as the coach. We have Kemba. And I think there's a couple we can agree on that are easy, right? Zoe's got to be the center. Is that right? And Larry Johnson's going to be our power or small forward, power forward, I guess.
He's going to end up being our power forward, but I agree on both of those. Do you, Cody?
Yeah, I'm fine with that. Yeah.
And why are you saying that, Sandra? Because you got to go with Glenn Rice?
I think so. I mean, Mashburn played there at the end of his career and averaged 20 points four straight seasons, but I don't think of Jamal Mashburn as a Hornet. I think of him more as a Maverick or a member of the Heat.
Right.
Yeah, I agree.
Listen, down in Miami, we remember him as the guy who passed up a game-winning shot in the playoffs to pass to Clarence Weatherspoon. that's our All right, so we're going it's a pretty good team, actually.
We needed a shooting guard still, too.
How long did Alonzo Mourning play for the Hornets? I remember more of as a Heat, but he's remembered
he's
here.
He's going to be a center, though.
Yeah, he's definitely remembered here as a Hornets legend. He's been back a few times.
He played three seasons in Charlotte.
Yeah.
Averaged 21 and 10 and three blocks a game.
Yeah, he was good.
Yeah.
Del Curry. Got to put Del Curry in.
Del at the two? Okay. It's either him or Kendall Gill.
Well, no, Eddie Jones was pretty good.
Yeah, Eddie Jones bounced around.
Yeah, Del, especially for here in Charlotte, Del is he still does all the TV for our games. And I think he played most of his career here. So
all right, I'm good with that.
And he fathered two NBA players. So I'm going to give Del credit there.
All right, so we're going. So we have Dell, we have Kemba Walker, we have Glenn Rice, we have Larry Johnson, we have Alonzo Mourning. It's a damn good
pretty
team.
Good team.
Yeah, I mean, Paul Silas won the championship with that team. I think.
We got to pick somebody off the bench and one for fun too. Don't forget.
Yeah. All right, so all right. I don't know where you want to put this. You know, on the starting roster, the bench, or for fun. But Muggsy Bogues. I mean, legend.
I agree. I think he was always going to be my one for fun. There's no scenario in which Muggsy Bogues was not making this team from East Anzac.
So. What if I was going to put Bismack Biyombo as my one for fun?
Oh, shit, man. Bismack Biyombo, man. Damn you. Well, let's establish, like, who's the one guy off the bench? Is it Barrett Davis? Is it Kendall Gill? Is it Tyler? Is it Cody Zeller?
Is it Vlade Divac? Yeah.
I'll be the water boy. There's a spot there for water boy.
All right, you got it. It's yours. Sold. <Yeah. laughs> Muggsy is one of the two, and we don't need to apologize to anyone out there.
I mean, we might have to apologize to Cody because we're talking to him and we haven't put him on the team yet, so he might.
That's all good.
No, he's the water boy. He's team captain.
Oh, okay. All right, good.
Yeah,
okay.
Water boy.
All
right. Yeah. Okay. Everyone has their role on the team.
Okay. I'm good with Eddie Jones off the bench. I don't think you guys realize how good of a player Eddie Jones was. I mean,
yeah, but.
All right, you want someone better? I mean, you're taking this very seriously. I told you he was a dork.
I mean, Eddie Jones only played for the Hornets for two seasons.
So it could be. I'm going to give you some choices, Dan. Like PJ Brown, David Wesley, their underrated player, Kendall Gill, Vlade. I don't know how long Barrett did. Gerald.
I think we go Vlade and Muggsy in some order. Off the bench, one for fun.
What an odd bench, just Vlade. You get your starting five, the guy who's 5'3", and another guy who's smoking cigarettes, 7'2". I mean, All right,
perfect.
We're good. We got it. And Cody's he's the water boy.
And we apologize to Marvin Williams because he's been there for about 17 years.
Yeah. Mar's my guy. Mar's my favorite teammate I've ever had. He's one of the best dudes in the league.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, unbelievable guy. He's the nicest guy ever. Like, he's so innocent. I mean, we had one a couple years ago that he had played like 40 minutes the night before. And, I mean, I can't remember who he was guarding, but he had a tough matchup, played 40 minutes. I mean, he's like 20 years in the league. So the next day of practice, we had, like the top six guys were supposed to come in at noon just to watch film. And the rest of the guys were supposed to be up on the court at 11:30 to play a little pickup. And so they didn't have enough guys up there at 11:30. So some of the video coordinators jumped in. And so at noon, the top six guys, like the starting group, walked up to the court just to see how the pickup game was going. And so we walked in and Marv takes off running for like from the door of the gym to the other end of the court. And it was like, Marv, chill out, like you played for it. And so he ran over and was like, what is this guy doing? He ran over to the water cooler and he gets like a whole armful of waters and he runs over to like the video coordinators. And there was like a dead ball. And he's like, hey, you guys need water? You guys good? You need a towel? You need anything? It's like, Marv, you played like 40 minutes in a night. Like, just chill out, buddy. So
nice.
That's how he is. He never holds himself above anyone.
All right. Well, feel free to invite him into one of the windows next time we have the family reunion on. Okay,
there it's gonna be
fun. Okay, we really appreciate this, man. So thank you for the time, for being so gracious with your time. You're a great dude. And 2 weeks, man, get on that guitar. Because you're worldwide, your first performance
is going
to be right here on Stupidity with me, Stanzik, and your whole family watching, okay?
The pressure's on now. This is accountability. Accountability. I got to go learn right now.
Stupidity!
All right, Stanzik, that was a lot of fun. Cody Zeller, and how about this? His musical debut in 2 weeks. 2 weeks from now, we will make his worldwide debut. He's going to be terrible, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Perhaps, Stanzik, what you and I could do is recruit some people to come into one of these Zoom chats, friends of the podcast, and maybe help him out when he makes his musical debut with the guitar in 2 weeks and he joins us again. Like, I'm thinking maybe Kenny Chesney and Kenny G, they come on, they help and help him out. How about that? You think that'd be nice?
Wow. That'd be a nice little surprise that we're giving away if he listens to the back of this podcast, which he won't.
No.
So I like it.
Exactly right. Do you think we can make that happen? We know we can make it happen with Kenny G. We'll see if we can make it happen with Kenny Chesney.
Well, nobody's doing anything now, so why not?
Right. Yeah.
I think now is the time to go big fish hunting. Well, let's get the big names.
Well, I think Kenny Chesney would co-host his podcast with us. I'm not even joking. He loves sports so much and loved being a part of the podcast that he would sit in one of these Zoom chat rooms and he would just do shows with us. I'm telling you.
Cody Zeller said he's a big country music fan, so I think Chesney might be the way to go.
All right, so let's do that. You enjoyed Cody Zeller. What a nice guy, huh?
I know. He is.
My favorite part of that is when – I mean, there were several parts that I loved. But when he's talking about Jordan's driver, was it George?
Yeah, George.
How much money – first off, so George is the guy that Cody was talking about who has all the stories on Jordan. And he has turned down tens upon tens of millions of dollars to write books, movies, whatever. You would rather get – the story we're getting right now is through Jordan's prism. You would rather have it through George's prism, would you not?
Yes.
Right?
Yes. Jordan's a little more guarded, a little more like wants to keep himself in the best light. We want to get like George – but like removed from Jordan, where the gravy trains run out and he can just go full board and telling us everything that happened.
Yes. I want George. Get George on the podcast. Can you do that?
Well, Cody, I don't know if you heard of that interview. You probably didn't. You don't listen well. But he did say that George has been offered to go on Oprah and has turned down Oprah.
Oh.
I think he'd come on here because we're bigger than Oprah.
Boom. Yes. Yeah, and that's the sell. So when you get a hold of George, say, listen, we realize you turned down Oprah because you were waiting for something bigger, and that something bigger has arrived right at your doorstep, my friend. And its name is Stupidity. Thanks to Cody Zeller. Perhaps George later this week.
Stupidity!